Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Welcome to Talking Giants, presented by SeatGeek. I'm your host, Bobby Skinner, here with my co-host, Justin Penick. The Giants are back in the building, Justin, and we're going to look at some linebackers today, which has not been a position of notoriety for the offseason for the Giants. The only move they made is bringing in Isaiah Simmons back. They brought Matthew Adams, who's probably not going to make the roster. If he is, he's a special teams player. And it's something the Giants have only used one top 30 visit on. It hasn't been a position that people have really prioritized, when last year it was like their biggest, like they have to go get somebody at linebacker this offseason. Justin, how are you?
Bobby Skinner, I'm good. T-minus 8 days, huh? I'm pretty sure they also brought back Cam Brown and Carter Coughlin, didn't they?
They didn't bring back Cam Brown. They did bring back Carter Coughlin.
Which is strange, because Carter Coughlin, I think he made like a very, what's the phrase? He made an Instagram post right after the season ended, almost saying like a goodbye to New York.
Well, Thomas McGahee got fired. I think he was sad about that.
But even he made it after the closing meetings that they have with the coaching staff. And I thought that maybe they just told him, hey, dude, we're not going to bring you back. You're off your rookie contract. All right, but cool. Carter Coughlin back too. Don't forget about him, the next Kyle Van Noy.
I have a longest tenured Giant tweet scheduled for July, which is something that I did. and Carter Coughlin, it like makes the cut on it.
Nice.
Justin, there's not much that has come out of the Giants being, you know, having their first day back in the building. Basically nothing new that we learned, right? You got to hear from the coordinators, which was nice. I listened to all those press conferences. Nothing new. Like with Shane Bowen, it's like, hey, we're gonna be attacking. You know, we heard it from his own mouth that, hey, we're going to try and penetrate in the backfield. We're going to try and rush with four. We're going to do whatever we can to, you know, try and have a good defense. Mike Kafka basically confirmed that he had play calling taken from a few times by not denying it when he was asked directly about it. Dable didn't say much. And then Waller, we didn't get anything on, but Darren Waller's obviously not there. But Joe Shane, I believe, is going to be talking on Thursday, so we can get some, you know, that'll be nice to hear from him before the draft.
Yeah, the whole thing with Bowen, and I don't even think we talked about it when Sean O'Hara had his conversation with him in the Chrysler that it was sponsored by? Ford? Something like that. During that conversation where Bowen talked a lot about playing on the other side of the line of scrimmage, and something that Bowen is going to talk about a lot as the spring and summer goes on, is I think we don't want to paralyze our players with too much information. I think he's especially talking about the secondary guys, where we really want to attack up front, but we also don't want to give the guys in the back end too much information to, you know, really, you know, freeze them. We want these guys playing loose. We want these guys playing fast. But I'm especially excited about, you know, because we know that Bowen is not going to blitz as much as Wink. In fact, it may even be the polar opposite, right? Where Wink is really high and then Bowen's kind of low, right? But Bowen is still talking about aggression and aggressiveness and being aggressive and being aggressive, whereas Wink's definition of aggression is very different. So I'm really excited to see this camp and this summer. It will be on those front four guys to deliver that aggression, to win at the line of scrimmage. You're not going to have help on the back end with pressure that's going to be created for you or untouched stuff, right? You're going to have to do it, and you're going to have to make it on your own. Giants go out, they get Brian Burns too. So you have a big three of guys that can do it. It's a matter of will they do it, and Bowen is banking on those guys doing it.
Yeah, it's basically about trying, instead of, you know, doing as much like, okay, play into your guy, read, shed. It's going to be, no, get into a gap. Get into the backfield, cause havoc.
Win.
And trust the guys behind you, where with Wink Martindale, it's more the linebackers are trust the guys in front of you. You play fast. So that's obviously going to, you know, that's the biggest difference. So you can look for more higher tackle for loss numbers for Dexter Lawrence, where historically those numbers have been pretty low for the type of player that he is. Brian Burns, like he did in Carolina, but Kayvon's going to play a little bit more, you know, wide nine, further outside of the tackle to, you know, try and make some of those plays. So gonna be some cool stuff. I'm going to, once the draft is over, UDFA stuff is over, I'm going to do Shane Bowen like weekly film, like video, maybe even live stream, just going through Titans tape.
Oh, nice.
To look at some of that stuff. Justin, let's and Daniel Jones is says he's gonna, you know, working to be back for training camp, which again has always been like, oh, they need to address quarterback because of Daniel Jones's injury. And we've both been like, what makes us think that Daniel Jones won't be ready for training camp? Like, is anyone going to take their rehab more serious than Daniel Jones? It didn't happen late in the season. It happened, you know, before the midway point, I believe. And he's a quarterback who's not going to be hit in training camp at all. So I expect him to be ready for training camp. Obviously, we've let our feelings know, you know, shown how we feel about the quarterback situation. But
yeah, and one more thing I want to bring up just about Daniel Jones and the quarterback situation right now, because everything that we've heard report-wise from national people or even some, you know, some of the Giants beat reporters on Twitter has been, well, you know, the Giants, they still believe in Daniel Jones, but it's the injury. It's the injury concern that's why they're really looking at the top quarterbacks, is because they just don't trust Daniel Jones's injury history. You know, then we had Ryan Dunleavy on, and kind of everybody that we do have on, maybe Jordan was an exception, but definitely Ryan Dunleavy hinted at the notion that there were some players and there were people questioning in the building this year, why did Tyrod Taylor look so much better in this offense than Daniel Jones did in this offense in 2023? There were people questioning that. And why was Tyrod Taylor able to do things differently than Daniel Jones was able to do in 23 and 2022? So there are people, and I think the Giants are showing that even with their actions too. Now that it comes out that the neck injury was just a stinger last year, though maybe Jones is lying, maybe he's not. I don't see why he would lie about that. But the whole neck injury thing, oh, it's just a stinger, you got over it quick. There's more to Daniel Jones's injury history as to why the Giants want to look into quarterback this year. I don't believe that for a second.
That's always been a great way for them to cover themselves. One, if they don't draft a quarterback, and two, to maintain the relationship with Daniel Jones. If they do draft a quarterback, say in the second round, and he's the starter day one, or he's the starter day one, even if they drafted someone in the first round, I've never really looked at that as, as that, because that line has been repeated over and over, like coming out of the combine, people we had on the podcast saying like, oh, it's the injury thing that they just can't bank on him. It's like, no, if they really believed in him, they would have just signed Drew Lock like they did and been like, let's roll with Daniel Jones. Now, that being said, I do not expect the Giants to get out of the first round with a quarterback. We'll see how it goes after that. All right, Justin, let's get into these linebackers. And I have to say, this is the position where I agree with the consensus the most.
Mm.
Like the eight guys that we're going to go through. So we're going to, you know, we're going to look at Edger and Cooper, Peyton Wilson, Jeremiah Trotter Jr., Junior Colson, I'm looking for the list. Curtis Walker, Eric Gray, Tyrese Knight, or Curtis Jacobs, and then the Kentucky guy. His name is Trevin Wallace. I don't know why I put Walker on there. I agree with the consensus as far as the order and right around the range. Like we'll go through it, but the only difference I have is I would swap Junior Colson and Jeremiah Trotter Jr. I would have Jeremiah Trotter Jr. as an inside linebacker 3 out of the guys I have watched. I haven't watched Eichenberg out of Ohio State. And then Colson four. So, you know, having Cooper one and Peyton Wilson two. So this is a position I agree pretty strongly with the consensus on. It's obviously not the Giants' biggest like priority, but it's never a bad thing to come out of the draft with a linebacker.
Now, do you want to give your speech every year on why it's smart to add interior linebackers? Because you're going to look, we were pretty lucky last year.
This is the first year it didn't happen, really.
Really, and like since we've been covering the Giants, what happens every single year to the interior linebacker?
Inside linebacker four is starting games for you almost every single season. That happens at some point. That inside linebacker four going into training camp is starting games for you. And you even look at it, that somewhat did happen with the Giants. Jared Davis got injured before camp, missed it, you know, and then they traded for Isaiah Simmons because Beavers wasn't working out like thought. And then, you know, Mike McFadden missed a game. So, like, technically, inside linebacker four did start a game in Isaiah Simmons and had some playing time.
Right.
But we're going to start it off first, Justin, with my linebacker one in this class. And this is a guy who can play ball. And that's Edgerrin Cooper, the linebacker out of Texas A&M, 6'2", 230 pounds. He had 8 sacks and 17 tackles for a loss this last season in the SEC. This guy is so, so fast, right? Like, the speed is great and just makes plays for him. He's quick, has lateral movement. And, Justin, he has an aggressive mindset to get downhill, but it's not simply just, okay, just play your gap, run downhill. Like, he has a great knack of just clearing traffic and finding the line of scrimmage. Like, all types of messes, counter run at you, all this stuff you got to avoid, and he's just, like, at the line of scrimmage making plays. And that athleticism is like, okay, you're not just an athlete. Like, you can actually play some linebacker. Does he take some chances and gets put out of place? Sometimes, but not often. And he's definitely not playing slow. And his coverage ability, I mean, it's as good as any linebacker we've seen come out the last 4 years that we've evaluated, Justin. Like, this dude can legitimately just play man coverage, which is very rare for a linebacker.
He does remind me a little bit of Willie Gay Jr., who I loved a couple years ago. Now, the funny thing about Willie Gay Jr. is that he's like 13 pounds heavier, and he is a better athlete, but their play styles, ultimately, they are similar, at least in my opinion. The consensus has him at 40. Brugler has him at 46, so in a very similar range. He's young. He's 22 years old. He shot out of a cannon, man, and he punishes, dude. I put out a run stop that he had at the line of scrimmage, and man, he punishes, man. 17 tackles for loss in 2023, 83 tackles total. Bobby, that's 20% of his tackles were behind the line of scrimmage. That's one out of every five, which is crazy. I do think sometimes he can react instead of diagnosing and anticipating what's happening in the run game. But when you have athleticism like that, clearly can kind of make up for it. I think the athleticism plus change of direction is one of the best in this class. I feel like Cooper is a ball of clay, where if you can maybe coach him up a little bit, you can have a great, great football player. He has long arms. The only thing that I want to say, like, he shot out of a cannon. We're talking about the big hits that he can make. I want him to get lower. Get lower, man. He plays a little too high, and lower man's going to win in the NFL, and you're not always going to be the strongest and the fastest guy out there. So if when he's engaged in these tackles, I want him to get a little bit lower because I feel like he can wrap up with those long arms, but get lower. Plus blitzer as well. 8 sacks.
Yeah, so again, he's not weak, but he's not the strongest guy in the world, and there's times where you see him get knocked around a little bit when, you know, the offensive line gets to him at the right angle, and he does need to add a stack and shed plan. He looks to slip blocks, which is always worrisome with some of these great athlete linebackers, but it's not like he's just avoiding contact. It's just he's very quick, and it allows himself to make plays. You mentioned him being a blitzer. Like, he does have those plays, but you kind of have to get him free as a rusher because once he has hands on him by an offensive lineman, he's just not engaging any. You know, maybe, you know, we'll talk about Jeremiah Trotter Jr. Like, set up an offensive lineman, give him a stutter and go because he's got that athleticism. But a lot of times when they're playing these athletic quarterbacks like Jaden Daniels, there was another one, I can't remember who. Oh, Jalen Milroe from Alabama. They would use him as a spy on these third downs, and he did a pretty damn good job of containing those guys when he was put in that role. And just, and like I said, like, he has legitimate man coverage ability. You know, like, he'll get physical at the stem and then just glued to the inside hip. You know, like, he's a legitimate, like, threat in man coverage, which is very hard to find from the linebacker position. There's guys who can do their zone drops and be instinctive and stuff, but just can actually go and play man coverage. Those guys are far and few between.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. And even from day one, I think this is going to be a guy that's going to be able to defend screens, intermediate passes, and a QB spy. I feel like that role is so important in today's NFL, where we have quarterbacks that are running, and, you know, we know how efficient, you know, QB scrambles can be. So having a guy that QB spy that can go sideline to sideline, I feel like it's so important for your linebacker. Absolutely, Bobby.
Just watching him was like, okay, new inside linebacker one for me, because I will watched him on Monday instead of, you know, earlier in the process. He was a name that you kept on seeing there. I'm like, okay, what is this guy's deal? And then you watch. I'm like, okay, this is why he's projected to go top of the second round. Justin, the guy who I had linebacker one before him, someone we interviewed down in Mobile, Alabama, got to talk with. I actually did a film breakdown with on him before we interviewed him, and I said, hey, you got to let us interview him. I fell in love with this player. And that's Peyton Wilson, the linebacker of NC State. Justin, I know you'll bring up some of the medical stuff that he's dealing with, but when you're watching him play, he's someone who knows how to play linebacker. I mean, he racked up the stats, 138 tackles, 17 and a half tackles for a loss, 6 sacks, and then 3 picks. And then he's just this instinctive tall linebacker who just flies all over the field and simply knows ball, right? Like, they'll put him at different positions, but he is someone who just knows ball. Justin, I thought he played his run keys extremely fast, aggressively, and correctly, right? Like, Edgerrin Cooper takes some chances. He usually makes it, gets in the right spot, but he does take chances. With Peyton Wilson, that's not it. He's just a great processor, and he can play his responsibility while still being a playmaker, right? If they're pulling, he'll lever outside, play his role, have the running back force to go inside, and then spin inside of it and make a play. You know, and then he just has like A+ lateral movement. Doesn't have the best long speed, but his short burst is as good as anybody, Justin. And then as far as the pass game, like, his zone coverage is beautiful, right? Like, has great route recognition. The bait quarterbacks often forces them to late pump. Like, I did a whole segment on his coverage in the film breakdown, and it was phenomenal. Paired with the good ball skills to get the pass breakups, interceptions, and batted passes. And as a pass rusher, he's, like, legitimately pretty good at it, right? Once he's connected, he loses, but he sets those guys up and has made consistent play after play as a pass rusher.
Peyton Wilson film breakdown on JM Football. Go check it out. Yeah, he just turned 24. Consensus has him at 43, and Brugler has him down at 88. Who are you siding with there?
43, but with the injury stuff that I'd like you to bring up,
yeah,
that probably puts him more in the 88 range.
So 20,
probably right in the middle of that, honestly.
2021 to 2022 struggled with shoulder injuries. I don't know if it was the same one, because 2021 he missed like the final 10 games of the season, needed shoulder surgery, and then 2022 there was like a shoulder stinger, and I don't know if it was related or not. He's suffered a concussion in college. He's also had a pair of torn ACLs, and the first was in high school, and the second as a sophomore in 2021. Shoulder injury and torn ACL? That's kind of crazy. Yeah, man, so that's... And he's almost 24. Like I said, just turned 24, so that's old with injury red flags and medical history. But 2023, I mean, showed you on tape that, hey, despite the pair of torn ACLs, look at how quick I can be, look at my lateral movement, and look at how athletic I can be. And definitely when we talk to him down there, you know, the draft is so much about... When I have insight into this, I like to lean on it. You know, we talk to him for 10 minutes, so we don't know him as like a person or as like a human being, but man, seems like he's carrying a good head above his shoulders, and seems like he is, football is his life, and that he's a hard worker, and that he's got all that kind of stuff figured out. Like, if there's going to be a reason why Peyton Wilson is not going to be a good football player, it's going to be for things that are out of his control, like injuries and things like that. Not because he's not willing to work hard, or not because he doesn't have the traits or the intangibles. Like, it will be probably because he may get hurt, and I hope he doesn't.
And you mentioned the, like, with the injury, it's not about, oh, well, the injury slowed him down. It's just a hope that he doesn't get re-injured. Because, like, my line with him in the end of the breakdown was, hey, I don't know what's going to happen injury-wise. I just know when he's on the field, he's going to be a good linebacker for you, and he's going to be at the ball. And like you said, like, he does sleep, breathe, and eat football. Like, that is what he dedicates to. And you can see, you can watch him and be like, this is someone who is just a film junkie and gets it, right? And we asked him about that, and he's like, oh, it's a, you know, good credit to our linebacker coach and our defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
But in reality, it's him putting in the work to do that. And, you know, through the film, the video I did on him, Justin, I just kept on watching games because I was like, there's no shortage of plays. And actually, you have to cut out a bunch. And but there's no shortage of in every situation, whether it is the pass rush, whether it is coverage, whether it is, you know, the run game, which is obviously the most important thing for a linebacker. Now, I will say in coverage and man coverage, you cannot put him in just man all the way down the field. He'll get beat deep in those man coverages. Sometimes he'll take chances undercutting a rail route, which, you know, is just a big, you that'll get you benched in the NFL, so he can't do that anymore. But he will get beat deep in man. So, if, you know, running back motions out wide, you can't just leave him out there on an island, or you have to tell him to truly just turn and bail and hope that they're not running underneath type of routes.
I feel like that's what the good amount of running backs in the NFL too, and or as linebackers in the NFL, excuse me.
Yeah, so like you can't put him in those types of situation, but he is just a guy who was a real deal, nose ball in and out. So
yeah, 30 tackles for loss over the last 2 years, 17 and a half of them coming this year. 10 and a half sacks the last 2 years, six of them coming this year. He had 9 pass deflections and 3 interceptions just this past year, too, in 21 games with double-digit tackles in his collegiate career. It's pretty damn good, and he's a 3-year captain, too.
Oh, captain. All right, Justin, next on the list, Junior Colson, national champion out of Michigan, 6'2", 238. He's had 95 tackles last year in 15 games, 2 tackles for a loss, 0 sacks, 0 interceptions in his entire career. Here's what I know, is that Junior Colson is going to find the field as an NFL linebacker, and he's going to rack up a bunch of tackles. That's what I know, because he's disciplined. You can tell he's been coached by a Jim Harbaugh coaching staff. The guy does not make mental mistakes in any area of the field. He plays linebacker the way like you do on teach tapes with his technique and stuff. That being said, I don't know how much of an advantage he'll ever be because he's not a playmaker. And the stats show that, the film shows that he's disciplined. He plays his gap. He's an overall like good athlete for the linebacker spot. Doesn't have as much burst and change of direction that you'd want. But he like plays with strong hands, will stack and shed, stay square. And just never gets out of place. Not afraid, like, and we're not talking about like a Jamin Davis. He just sits in one spot and he's never technically out of place because he doesn't do anything. Like, he'll get downhill, but he lets the play develop. So he's someone that you can just trust to go out there and play linebacker and play it responsibly. But I don't think he's ever going to be. I don't think he's ever going to be a playmaker, and that's why he's linebacker 4 for me instead of 2 or 3.
Yeah, I was a little worried that we were going to have different opinions on Junior Colson, where maybe you would come in here and be like, yeah, I think at the next level he'll be good. But because I'm kind of like, I don't know where I am on Junior Colson, because I like him, but I don't know how much I like him. 42 on Brugler's big board, and then 54 on consensus. 21 years old, and he's really young. And I do want to mention this. You know, there's not a lot of background stories. You know, we just don't have the time to get into these guys' lives and background stories, but Colson does have like a really inspiring story where Colson, he was born Pierre Thomas, grew up in Haiti, and then he was displaced after losing a family member in a January 2010 earthquake in Haiti.
Then he moved to the States. Was this ESPN NFL draft coverage?
No, let me finish it off. It moved to the States outside of Nashville with some family. He had to learn a different language and culture, and then part of assimilating was sports, and he played football, and then that's kind of where that started. So I thought, listen, I'm sure these guys have inspiring stories, but I just
remember the year ESPN, every single player that was drafted, it's like, and his second cousin is dead. Like, they were just finding tragedies for every single player that they persevered so much.
Did you know CJ Stroud's father's in jail? this is the guy, one of the first guys, Bobby, that he's not afraid to take on blockers and use his hands.
No, definitely not.
A lot of these guys are shifty and they try to evade the blockers, but it's like, no, Junior Colson's gonna, you know, his upper body strength is there and he's gonna bring the pop. And I feel like that's the kind of stuff that could translate to the pro game. You're not just gonna outwit or, you know, just go around everybody. Isn't a plus plus athlete, but so he doesn't run himself out of making plays. That was my note. He's not a plus plus athlete, so he's usually not gonna run himself out of plays and not over pursue because he's not that fast. Even though that's not how that works.
He's just kind of, he's disciplined. Like my first note is just usually like kind of a quick synopsis and is disciplined linebacker who will rack up tackles.
Yeah.
That is what Junior Colson is.
Not a ton of negative play production. Zero interceptions, zero forced fumbles, 8.5 tackles for loss in 2 years, and only 2 in 2023. So a lot of his negative play production did come in 2022. But He did have a 4.7 missed tackle rate, which is very, very, mm-hmm. very low. I mean, he does not miss tackles. Even some of these guys that I think they can be good tacklers or they wrap up, you know, you check the numbers and it's like, oh, you have a missed tackle rate that's 10% or even above. And it's like, that's not awesome. 4.7 is awesome. Now, someone with this size at 238 pounds, like I want to see better lateral movement. I kind of want to see a little bit more quickness, but I think he could possibly be the best all-around linebacker we're looking at, because he doesn't have the same red flags as the rest of these guys, but lack of athleticism gives me pause to make him a high second-round pick, even though I can easily see him becoming a good NFL player.
Yeah, I think he's someone who's going to last, you know, 6-7 years, play the linebacker spot, someone you can trust to put in there, but he's never going to be a Pro Bowl, all-pro type of like player or consider, or maybe he will, by the way, people grade linebackers by just looking at total tackles, which I think we've gotten away from a pretty good amount.
Yeah.
All right, Justin. So the next guy that we're going to talk about is someone who, to me, is, I put him at linebacker 3, but I kind of want to put him at linebacker 2, because if you ask me, like, I think we can look back at this draft and be like, why didn't this guy go higher? Because he is on those lists year after year. He does put together the production. He is extremely smart. He does play tough. And that's Jeremiah Trotter Jr., the linebacker out of Clemson, who, if you didn't figure it out by now, his father was Jeremiah Trotter.
Mm.
Now, here's the things going against him. 6 foot, 228 pounds. You know, he only did, three cone drill and shuttle at 7.13 and 4.4. You know, so he's not the best athlete, but I think he makes up for it in bursts. Like, one of my notes says long speed is average, but makes up with the burst. He's just an instinctive, smart play-making linebacker. He knows how to make plays. He's a very quick processor who trusts what he's seeing and gets downhill, and he's got the strength despite that size. Like, he runs through offensive linemen. He kind of uses his size to his advantage, where he's not, like, going head up and taking them on with his hands, even though I think he does do that well when he's asked to, but he's playing with his leverage. He plays low, and he's going to get to the half man, the offensive lineman, and run through them and open up their shoulders, and is just going to make plays. And that shows up in the numbers, right? You know, the last 2 years, 12 sacks, 28.5 tackles for a loss, and 4 mm-hmm. interceptions. Like, he is just someone who brings the pop into blocks, like, every single play, while being a quick processor, trusting, being instinctive, and knowing how to work through traffic. Like, I think he's going to rack up stats in the NFL level, right? Like, to me, he's closer to linebacker 1 than he is linebacker 4 for me.
Wow. Consensus has him at 89, and Dane Brugler has a 4th-round grade on him, and he has Cedric Gray from North Carolina as a spot above him in his rankings.
So I have him as a low second rounder because, again, the size, some of the athletic limitations. Now,
late second rounder or a low meaning high second rounder?
Low meaning second half of the second round.
Got it.
So now there is negatives to his game besides just like you and man coverage. Like, he takes too many chances, and he can get lost in that area of the field, right? So you can't put him in there, but you can, like, zone coverage stuff. He's as good as anybody, you know, besides maybe Peyton Wilson in this draft, right? Like, he's got good ball skills, the jump routes. He plays his zone drops while looking at the QBs and being able to make plays on the ball. You know, go watch the interception he had versus Notre Dame for a touchdown. He had a dropped interception versus Drake May by reading his eyes and getting into his zone. So he does that stuff really well, despite not having like the best change of direction to pass stuff off super well. And he does tackle low, and that gets him in trouble in space. I don't think he's missing many tackles in between the box, but out in space. Yeah, he can kind of not be able to wrap up completely with those short arms and let guys go free.
Quick observation. I like that he wears a linebacker number one.
Son of a linebacker.
He has a very high 16.3% missed tackle rate. But like you said, that I almost want to see like the missed tackle rate when you're running sideline to sideline versus in the box. I feel like that's also a very important stat distinction that I wish we got. Lance Zierlein is much higher on Jeremiah Trotter because he actually has him right above Edgerrin Cooper, but right below Peyton Wilson. And then Junior Colson is Lance Zierlein's linebacker one. Yeah, Bobby, I feel like Trotter is the ultimate IQ and being a good football player. And Trotter's an awesome football player.
And those guys
player.
Work out at linebacker.
Versus traits dichotomy, where we always fall in love with the athlete that can run sideline to sideline. Oh, well, take the chance on the guy that he runs fast and he's quick and he can go sideline to sideline, but maybe he doesn't have the best instincts and he's stuck reacting and he gets lost in the sauce of blockers up front and he can't shed. And it feels like Trotter can do that stuff, and he's put up the production at Clemson.
This
and
is the position that happens at the most, where it's like we look back and like, oh, how did Jamin Davis fail? How did, you know, this first rounder fail? It's like, you know, Isaiah Simmons. It's like, well, you just watched him be fast as shit and playing a college defense that didn't force him to ever take on a block, and he didn't end up working out. And then why did, you know, third rounder Logan Wilson, you know, work out? It's like, well, he plays the linebacker position. That's what Jeremiah Trotter Jr. does. And despite the fact that he doesn't have great athleticism, he plays fast, right? And he's got good burst in there too, which again shows up as a pass rusher as well. Like, I think he's right there at the top of the pass rusher. So that's why I say he's closer to linebacker one to me than linebacker four. Because, one, Peyton Wilson, the injury stuff. And then Edgerrin Cooper, you could see it just not working out for Edgerrin Cooper. Because, hey, you're not going to be that much faster than everybody at the NFL level. You're going to have to start taking on blocks and using your hands better, which he doesn't really do. So that's why... like, that's why I could see him, we look back at this class, and him being the best linebacker. So, like, I have Edgerrin Cooper as a high second round, and then I have Peyton Wilson and Jeremiah Trotter Jr. basically right next to each other.
28 total pressures. You were talking about pass rush. Pretty good.
Yeah, like, he actually knows how to set up. He doesn't just get free rushes or run straight in the guy and knock him over. Like, he will set up a running back and, you know, give him that stutter step and then shoot inside. Like, he's not just simply... being like, you know, oh well, he's in a defense that allowed him to get these types of moves where they just, you know, are able to just run free. So
it's kind of crazy how impressive he is, like IQ wise and smarts wise and just knowing what's going on. He's 21, dude. He's 21 years old. 21,
son of a linebacker. I feel like that actually matters with him. It's like the guy grew up having what was Jeremiah Trotter all pro? I know he had to make some Pro Bowls at least. Like, he grew up the son of a linebacker. Like, I am trusting this guy to figure it out at the next level.
He was a 4-time Pro Bowler and an all pro one time.
All right. So we figured it out. So all pro and Jeremiah Trotter Jr.
What was his nickname according to Pro Football Reference that may actually not even be his nickname?
Probably not a real nickname. What was it?
The Axeman.
Yeah, I've never heard Jeremiah Trotter get called that.
Can I talk about something real quick?
Is it Trevin Wallace or is it something else?
It's something else that people would really enjoy.
Talk to us about it.
I'm going to talk to you, and it's about JM Football, and we have been doing mock drafts on JM Football. We did a first-round mock last week, and then honestly, it seems like people are even enjoying even more the second-round mock.
I enjoyed the second-round mock more.
A lot of people do first-round mocks.
Hey,
and
three of the four guys we just talked about made it into the second-round mock.
Yeah. Yeah. Hell yeah. So check out JM Football. The link is in the description. Check out our NFL coverage football today. There's some trivia stuff that we do. A lot of fun shorts are going up there, too. I want to try and do some more different stuff after the draft as well. That's a little bit more long form. JM Football, football today. We're kind of being evaluated on it. So check out our football show. Appreciate you. Mock drafts.
My heart just sunk.
You're gonna fuck with me right now.
I'm not. This is a tweet from Dan Duggan if you want to look it up yourself. Digging into the Giants pre-draft 30 visits, and here's one I don't think has been out there. Washington State safety Jaden Hicks, per source.
Yep, I just saw that.
Fuck. Shit.
Giants could possibly replace McKinney with another early second-round pick. And this one guy, Sky Luke, and he follows us. He just responded no. and you were tagged in it.
I'm gonna tweet Andy Bernard.
I'm just gonna sit here and cry.
Mid podcast tweet. All right, Justin. Next on this, I really enjoyed doing the second round mock on JM Football. Jaden Hicks did not go in the second round.
No, he did not.
Spoiler. I wish Chris Rose would have taken him, and I could have just ripped it apart.
Ripped him apart. Yeah.
I would have tore his ass up.
Mm.
God, if the Giants draft him, that's going to be really... That's just going to kill vibes. At least if they draft him on day three, okay. Next on this list is Trevon Wallace, linebacker out of Kentucky. Justin... And once again, he's not the same size or athlete that Jamin Davis is. He's 6'1", 237 pounds, but he is a good athlete. Another linebacker out of Kentucky who, like, I don't think plays linebacker very well, right? Like, my first note is fast coverage linebacker who needs a lot of work. But that being said, he is a great athlete that just, you know, it allows him to get to the ball. He just... doesn't bring any pop downhill. He gets swallowed up by blocks and he doesn't have any hand usage. You know, he does use that lateral quickness to slip blocks, but he sometimes will go the wrong way and those stuff. And he has bad play recognition. And here's, we talked about the other guys being able to get through traffic, right? With Wallace, he's always caught up in the traffic and never is able to get through it. And then he over pursues versus play action and pullers and stuff. But he's just like, he's someone who is an athlete that you want to be a good linebacker, but I'm not sure he is.
I asked you pre-show if we can do Trotter Jr. and Trevon Wallace back to back, because I feel like they are completely the polar opposite of football player, where you have Trotter that's full. Hey, this is a football dude, IQ guy. You're going to invest in him because, not necessarily because of the athleticism, but because he's a really good football player. Trevon Wallace, you're investing in because he is completely traits. Traits, traits, traits. 121 on the consensus board and Brugler 86 in the third round. His metrics are terrible. The stable metrics from PFF are terrible. Forced incompletion percentage rate. 0th percentile. Run stop rate, 31st percentile. I don't know if I've seen somebody with the worst stable metric hexagon that we got going on right here that includes slot grade, box grade, and run defense grade. 412 snaps on special teams in 3 years. So you're going to get a good athlete that can hit, that's big, and he can play on special teams, right? Shot out of a cannon, he can be an effective blitzer. I kind of have here...
But he needs more pop as a blitzer, too. Like, he slows, like, he doesn't want to just run through a guy. He slows down as I fill air while Justin talks, you know.
I got the light.
While Justin fixes his light. That's what I was doing.
I have a question for you. So, everybody, no, I'm not, let me rephrase. I really admire Ivan Pace Jr.'s rookie year Like I feel like I want to make content around it. That's how compelled, that's how much I admire and I loved his rookie year. And he did play linebacker. He started at linebacker for the Minnesota Vikings. And people were, oh, he's too small. He's not a conventional linebacker. He doesn't really play the position, but he's an athlete and he's fast, blah, blah, blah. And I do think Trevon Wallace, at least his combine numbers, I think Ivan Pace Jr. plays faster than Trevon Wallace, but Wallace does have better combine numbers. How do you feel about an Ivan Pace Jr. comp for Trevon Wallace?
I don't see that. I mean, Ivan Pace got downhill. He played with instincts. He knew how to make guys miss. Like, he kind of set guys up as pass rushers. He can make some plays in coverage. Wallace just doesn't. He's just an athlete who is kind of out of place.
I agree with you.
All the time, right?
I
agree. Even in coverage. Like, his zone recognition is okay, but he just doesn't play with any instincts. And you just said he had a 0 percentile forcing completion rate?
Yes.
Like, he's very much a, like, okay, like he'll close in and tackle the guy who catches the ball really well, right? Not going to get a lot of yak, but they're going to catch the ball because he just lets those guys sit on in their zone, and he doesn't play with instincts to go and try and cut those things off while keeping his eyes on the quarterback. So, like, you can put him in man coverage, and he can run pretty well. But again, to me, he is someone who needs a lot of development. And so I think if he's someone who's an athlete like that, he's not the greatest athlete in the world we've seen at linebacker, right? We're not talking about Isaiah Simmons level of like size and athleticism. No. We're talking about a guy who's a really good athlete. He is someone you take on day three. He is someone you take on day three, who you take a swing on, hope you can develop him and teach him how to play linebacker, because if he does figure it out, he'll be pretty damn good. But he's not going to contribute early as a player.
I even think like the fourth round, where the consensus has him, is a little too high.
The consensus has him as a fourth round?
Well, pick 121. I think that's fourth round.
So that's end of fourth round. I have him as a fifth rounder. So that, I mean, that's and then again. And then so I guess I do agree with consensus on most of these linebackers. I'm just a little higher on Jeremiah Trotter Jr. Like, that's the only difference I have with consensus this year with the linebackers.
Brugler's got him 86 in the top 100, which I'm sorry. You know, and this, so if anything, I'm going back to Ivan Pace Jr. and not even talking about Trevon Wallace. Ivan Pace Jr. went undrafted, and that was a guy with insane upside as even like a pass rusher from the interior linebacker. Hell, he even did provide special teams value, which we've seen teams take special teams in the sixth, seventh round and not bet, and your teams don't bat an eye at that kind of stuff. So, I mean, the fact that Trevon Wallace is this high based on his traits, I guess he has more size and Ivan Pace Jr. was small. And
yeah, I mean, Ivan Pace was 5'8". That's what made Ivan Pace go undrafted. That was basically it. Ivan Pace was 5'8".
Ivan Pace is 5'10". Which I know is still short. It's really short for a linebacker, but I don't know. We've seen weirder things happen in the NFL. It wasn't like he was fully.
So a lot of the good linebackers in the NFL are short.
No. Ivan Pace Jr. is short.
But I'm talking about like short. The six, like we're talking about like Jeremiah Trotter, like Jeremiah Trotter's size. It doesn't work against him, to me. It's simply just not an advantage. In fact, he kind of does use it to advantage because, like I said, he plays with leverage. Like, he powers through offensive tackle shoulders or offensive lineman shoulders. All right, next, Justin, on this list is a guy who I think can be fairly solid in the NFL. Again, like a good – I describe him as a good coverage linebacker who fits best as a number two, and that's Cedric Gray, the linebacker out of UNC. He has 266 tackles over the last 2 years in 26 games.
Ooh.
You know, 23 tackles for a loss, 3 interceptions, 6 sacks. So he's put together some good numbers. I think he's a good, not great athlete. Play strength isn't very good, but like he never gets bullied either. And I think his play recognition is just a tick late. Like, he's not just sitting there with his feet in mud, but it is a tick late, which will often end up like him being sealed off. And then he just doesn't have the strength to stack and shed and get off of those blocks. So that's why I see him as more of like, put him put him next to a Bobby Okereke, where he can run and chase a little bit and flash that athleticism. And then in coverage, he's good. Like, his zone recognition is really good. Carries routes with his eyes on QB to work off. His man coverage is solid. And he works sideline to sideline with, like, outside runs very well. So, like, I think he's someone who can fit really good as an inside linebacker, too, in the NFL. Which is, again, if you're being projected in third, fourth, fifth round, I have him as a fourth. That's a very fine way to play your career out.
The consensus is with you, and Dane Brugler's with you. 95th on the consensus board. Brugler has a fourth-round grade on him as well. Bobby, out of all the guys that we've talked about in terms of where they're projected to go, you know, Trotter's definitely one of them, too, that I would be comfortable with taking. But I think Trotter kind of projects more as a Mike linebacker, too. Cedric Gray being 21 years old, so young. Long arms that can really help him in coverage. He uses them for pass deflections and interceptions, along with sensing where the QB's eyes are in coverage, too, and then using his length as a positive and a plus to make plays in coverage, whether that be on the ball carrier or the ball itself. I think he also senses screens well. I think he's a really solid tackler. Now, he has a 14% missed tackle rate. I like how he wraps up. I just think
he's good in the open field. He's just not like a strong. He doesn't bring pop to it.
He goes to the ground with it too soon, and I think that backs up your note. If he doesn't bring pop to it, where if you're going to the ground, I don't think you're bringing. You're not bringing a lot of pop. So don't go to the ground with it too soon. But I do think he wraps up, and that's how he saves himself a little bit. And I've similar notes as you. Will linebacker, most likely where he could be told to go. Sometimes he can be over-aggressive. You know, he could be over-aggressive, and it gets him in trouble when the play is going to go right by him. And I have a good athlete who can go sideline to sideline, more than adequate for a day three pick.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think early day three is fine with him. Even if he's picked with a third round comp pick, I don't think anyone's blinking at that.
Yeah.
Justin, the next guy we're going to talk about was the only top 30 visit for linebackers that's been reported. And that's a UTEP linebacker, Tyrese Knight. So I looked at his stats, Justin. 140 tackles last year, 4.5 sacks, 15.5 tackles for a loss. And I was like, oh, small school kid? His film's going to be sick, right? And I'll be honest, I was kind of disappointed, right? Like, he's yoked up. Like, he's a ball of muscle, and he racks up a lot of tackles. But, like, we talk about processing speed for linebackers. And I think his is, like, really slow, where, like, his feet will just be stuck in the mud. I think his height is a really disadvantage. Like, I don't think he can see the mesh point. And there's times where he's just going the wrong way of the play. Like, when they played Liberty, and Liberty throws a lot of action at you, he was the guy who was put out of place a lot of times. And it wasn't simply like, okay, this is your responsibility as the quarterback. It was him simply being out of place. And, like, he's just kind of, he's again, I have a note, often out of place in the run fit. And he's not going to be someone who plays super strong despite the fact that he is yoked up, right? Like, he struggles to disengage blocks. His stack and shed is hit or miss. And, like, he doesn't really make plays in coverage either. Doesn't really include his legs in the tackling process like we talked about with Cedric Gray. Like, I think the best thing is, like, his flexibility and his lateral mobility to get back into plays for the tackles, right? Because there was a lot of times where he got all those tackles. He had to get them somehow. But a lot of times those were 5-plus yards down the field with Tyrese Knight. So I wasn't going into this expecting to have someone on, like, day two guy. But I was expecting it to be a little more fun film with Tyrese Knight, and it just wasn't.
Who do you like better? Toledo's Deontay Johnson, a UDFA that we signed last year, or Tyrese Knight?
That's fucking crazy that you said that, because when I was watching his film and I was thinking of a grade for him, I was like, I like Deontay Johnson out of Toledo's film better, so I'm grading him as a UDFA.
Yeah, consensus has him 170, and then Brugler has a fifth to a sixth round grade on him. It's always tough with these small schools. My first thought was,
it's even tougher
that,
when their film's not amazing at these small schools.
Right. Which I think tells you a lot. Day three small school player with a 30 visit, and I was thinking he was invited to the combine, and yeah, he was invited to the combine. So at least I think he was, right?
Yes, he was. I mean, yeah, he was one of the only guys who tested in every single drill, too.
Yeah. So my flashers are going off. Like, the radar is going off of, you know, at least Walter Football has a meeting with four teams, the Giants being one of them. So this isn't just one of those scenarios. Like, the Giants met with an interior defense alignment from a really small school last night. At least the report came out last night, and he's fast as hell. Lateral movement up the wazoo. I want to watch him. I'm going to watch everybody with the 30 visit because that's just what the Giants have done.
Top 30
so visit. I don't think Tyrese Knight, like, this is an example of, oh, this is just a guy that didn't go to the combine and a small school guy that every single NFL team is looking into. No, I think, like, this could be a Trey Hawkins situation. Smaller school, day three pick, that he could be a Giant. He's 23 years old.
I mean, sixth or seventh round, like, it makes...
Yeah.
Like when I say UDFA, it's not like, oh, if he gets drafted in the sixth or seventh round, this is an outrage.
Yeah, I just think the difference is we watched Trey Hawkins last year, and maybe we'll watch Tyrese Knight more and get a little bit more excited, but we watched Trey Hawkins last year, and we're like, damn, like, exciting day three. Jordan Riley, like, you know, damn, look at the size, and look at the knockback power that he can deliver. You know, not great and not polished, but at least those guys we got really excited with in the fifth and the sixth round, where Tyrese Knight, I don't think it's the same kind of excitement. I think he has strong hands. I think he wraps up well. I think he's slippery. I do have
that. I have works to slip blocks, and but it'll get him out of place. Has lateral mobility to get back into place with the tackles, and flexible to dip around blocks.
Yeah, I have, like, he's aware, and, you know, it's mixed with some athleticism. Sometimes he has necessary patience, and he isn't reckless. Like, we see a lot of guys in this draft class that are reckless, that'll miss out on plays. I don't think Tyrese Knight is that, but Bobby, you also said that he's sometimes his feet are stuck in cement. So maybe, you know, you take the word patience and then you're stuck in cement, or you're too hesitant. You know, take that note however as you
also,
may.
UTEP, like, would have him play without very much depth. So at the same time, it's, like, hard to get downhill when you're lining up 3 yards, you know, past the D lineman instead of 6 yards. So I think he is someone that's worth bringing in a top 30 to ask him the questions. Like, why was this? What, you know, why did you do this? Get, see him move in person. Like, he was the best player on that defense, obviously. He didn't have much help around him. So, me saying he's a UDFA doesn't mean he can't be, like, if he's drafted in the sixth or seventh round, that it's a bad pick. It's just, I mean, if you say he's a sixth-round pick and I say he's a UDFA, we're both saying he's probably not going to be a good player in the NFL.
Right, right. 140 tackles, 15.5 tackles for loss, 4.5 sacks, 7 pass deflections in 2023. He was number one in the FBS in solo tackles. And he did play, like you say, all small school, never played against anybody. Did play, I believe it was either Northwestern or Kansas State. What team with, like, purple uniform? I'm leaning Northwestern. And made some plays. So there were some games where he played some high-quality competition, made some plays, and he does have experience. Obviously not full-time experience, but coming from the small school. But, you know, hey, Tyrese Knight.
Yeah, definitely the best player on that defense. All right, Justin, last guy we're going to talk about, we can go quick. And that's Curtis Jacobs, linebacker out of Penn State. 6'1", 241 pounds. I'm pretty sure the heaviest guy that we're talking about, which is crazy. Linebackers are getting so damn small. And that's on a 6'1" frame, and I'm talking about a 6'4" guy. 49 tackles, 9 for a loss, 2.5 sacks this past year for Penn State. He's strong, right? Like, he lacks athleticism and burst. So you'll see him get beat to the sideline pretty consistently. But in a class where it seems like every class where it's like these guys don't play, they don't have good strong hands. Like, he does. Like, he has strong hands to deconstruct blocks, and he'll stack and shed an offensive lineman. But again, if there's anyone who I think that we talked about where it's like the athleticism holds him back, it is Curtis Jacobs. I think his processing is lacking. The play comes to him. And he's just not going to give you really anything as a coverage player. But if he's someone you could put in there on running downs, if you give him a little bit of more of a green light to get downhill and use those strong hands that he has, he can make some run stops for you.
What round grade do you have?
Six.
Six. Brugler has fifth, and consensus has 161, which I think is fifth.
Yeah, like end of the fifth.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I feel so, and you got to think, if I, like, you don't have the exact amount of players graded for each round. So it probably falls into like fifth round when I say he's a sixth round player.
Yep.
So, all right, Justin, that's the linebacker preview. We're going to have corners on Friday. We got a lot of lot of top 30 visits. We got Kool-Aid McKinstry, Chigozie Ansuale, Chow Smith Brady, Andrus Phillips. Those are four top 30 visits. I was thinking maybe we could do Quinyon Mitchell, Rake Straw from Mizzou, and then maybe get a couple other guys. We did Max Melton with Nick Filato, so we won't double up on that. So we will see you Friday for the cornerback draft preview. We appreciate you guys. We'll see you then. Until then, let's go Big Blue.
Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.